You think you've got it tough? Imagine what it was like during the Civil War. President Lincoln had a telegraph line, otherwise information took days to reach his office. Plus, he was dogged by detractors every step of the way. Although the situation during those Civil War years changed almost daily, somehow Lincoln was ultimately able to prevail. Well, joining us live from the Excellence in Government Conference is Alan Schweier, principal and partner of the Center for Human Capital Innovation, to talk about the lessons of enduring leadership. Mr. Schweier, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So let's start by defining enduring leadership. What do you mean by that phrase?
Well, what we're going to be talking about today is enduring leaders through times of crisis. And it is individuals who rise to the occasion but actually stay at a high level of leadership despite the kinds of trials that you describe with Abraham Lincoln. It's a quality of leadership that's sometimes referred to as level five leadership, and enduring in the sense that despite the difficulties and the challenges, leaders prevail or continue to persevere through those times and ultimately prevail.
So besides Lincoln, which was kind of my choice, who are some other enduring leaders? And they don't have to be presidents, but just people we might identify with.
Well, you know, what always comes to mind for me is, most recently, is Nelson Mandela in South Africa and the types of difficulties and challenges that he went through, but also the equanimity, the emotional intelligence, the wisdom that he showed in steering a country away from the brink. And it's very similar to what Abraham Lincoln did in the United States, taking a country from really an existential challenge, a threat to its existence, and through a level five type leadership or enduring leadership, making it through that and leading a people through that. And it doesn't have to be, as you say, a president or a leader of a country. It can also be, obviously, a manager or an executive or even a person at any level within an organization.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get to. And my first question there is this quality innate in some people, or can the average person, the average manager, learn some of the techniques or secrets of being an enduring leader?
It's proven, really, I think, that it's a thing that can be learned. This concept or myth of the born leader is just that, really just a myth. Certainly some people, you know, through experiences in childhood, will have qualities of leadership that others may not. But it's certainly something that can be learned, something that comes with experience. And not so much training as experience and learning. So I think there's a difference there. You don't train someone to be a leader so much as you develop someone to be a great leader.
Do you think the federal government does a decent job of that?
Yeah, I think definitely in pockets. Certainly the military has been very well known and respected for developing leaders for really hundreds of years. Definitely some of the agencies and departments do a very good job of developing leaders at every level. There's a lot, you know, really to be done, I think. There's a fair bit that can be learned and exchanged between some of the lessons and some of the lessons in the private sector and the public sector on developing great leaders. So no one has a lock on it. Some organizations are much better than others, and I think you'll see big differences across the federal government.
We're speaking with Alan Schweier. He's principal and partner at the Center for Human Capital Innovation. And tell us a little bit about that center. What do you do there, and how does that apply to leadership?
Sure. We're focused really on developing leaders specifically in the U.S. federal government. That's our entire focus. And we do that in a variety of ways. We are working with agencies and departments as well as the military, again, as developers, trainers in the sense that we put together leadership programs, speak at events like the EIG today, and provide materials. We also offer a portal at tmgov.org that provides a great deal of useful information, webcasts and the like, about the topics of leadership and management in the federal government.
Now, there's a pay freeze on for federal workers, and there's also talk of fact that the government's too big in a large number of people's opinions. And there's general kind of crabbiness, I think, between the public and the government right now. So it would seem to be a time that demands that kind of enduring leadership. What should managers be doing now to help along and help by their leadership the situation that their employees are facing?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And really, without having being able to rely really on more money, there's going to be probably a great deal less budget available for solving some of the problems government has today. And those problems, I think, as you point out, are only growing, and at the same time facing this criticism and so on. Managers and leaders in government have to inspire and engage employees to perform at greater levels. And so it really is a question of leadership today. And the ability to drive higher productivity through better leadership, through higher levels of employee engagement, is really key and essential today, perhaps more than it has been for probably decades.
And if you look at Congress, there's an example of where I think a lot of people would say, you know, where's the leadership? I mean, we know who the elected leaders are by definition, the Speaker and the Majority Leader, the Minority Leader and so forth of the two different houses of Congress. But in terms of what you mean by enduring leadership, it doesn't look right now as if either party really has that. What's your assessment of the leadership situation relative to the big crisis confronting them that's the case in Congress right now?
Yeah, no. Some leadership principles are going to have to emerge from what's going on now. So definitely, there's a little bit of the digging into the heels. There's obviously a deadline coming that we're all aware of on August 2nd, and I'm confident. I think most of us are confident that leadership will emerge. The members of both parties certainly have people that are able to step up and demonstrate those qualities. If they can get past the partisan components of their positions, I think we're going to see some real leadership emerge before that deadline, and we'll get through this. I can't predict who or how, but I really believe that's going to happen.
Well, we wouldn't ask you to stick your neck out that far on something. So tell us about what you'll be talking about at the conference later today.
Thanks. We're going to be looking at lessons actually from the Civil War. So we're definitely in a crisis today. I think it's probably as deep as anything we've seen maybe since World War II, but certainly nothing nearly as dangerous and difficult as what was faced about 150 years ago, or exactly 150 years ago at the outset of the U.S. Civil War. Definitely the most challenging event in the history of the country. So Stephen Wiley, who heads up the Lincoln Leadership Institute in Gettysburg, is going to talk about some of the lessons in leadership from that battle in particular, and a real fascinating case study on people rising to the challenges and really demonstrating that enduring leadership in a time of extreme crisis. So I think it's going to be very interesting to our audience today.
Yeah, and one question about the Civil War, too, contrasting Lincoln, the other person that comes to mind is General McClellan, who seemed to have the pretty good approbation from his troops, but never really marched anywhere, and that would seem to be the antithesis of enduring leadership, someone who has all the stars and stripes and authority and yet fails to exercise it when the crisis comes. What do you make of McClellan?
Well, McClellan might have had some of the he might have been a victim of some of the early politicking around the war in the North, especially. He wasn't given the same free hand, I think, as some of the generals and leaders in the South. I think it's a little unfair to blame him for everything. In fact, I think even Abraham Lincoln, if he was here today, might admit to developing his own style of leadership and warfare throughout the Civil War, and was a much better leader in 1863 than he was in 1861 and 1862. So I'm no fan of McClellan's leadership, but I think he did have some circumstances that didn't give him the latitude he might have needed to be as effective as his counterparts in the South.
Interesting. Alan Schweier is principal and partner of the Center for Human Capital Innovation. He's been speaking to us live from the Excellence in Government Conference at the Ronald Reagan Building in D.C. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.